The Death Room by Edgar Wallace. 1. Do you believe in spiritualism, Mr. Gillette? Detective Inspector John Gillette now frowned a little terrifyingly at the girl who sat on the opposite side of his desk. When an official of Scotland Yard receives a newspaper reporter, he does not expect to be cross-examined on his hobbies, and spiritualism was a hobby of this dour man. You see, Ella Martin broke in eagerly, I have taken up a case for the paper. The editor did not like the idea at all, and said that my job was to write nice, chatty little pars about what Lady So-and-so wore at the Devonshire House ball, and all that sort of thing, but I rather insisted. John Gillette concealed a smile, and he very seldom felt the inclination to smile. She was very young and very pretty, and very unlike any newspaper reporter he had ever seen. How did you know I was interested in spooks? He asked. From the evidence you gave in the Marriott case years and years ago. It was amongst the cuttings in the library. Detective Inspector John Gillette was not an easy man to interview. Against that, however, was the fact that very few, other than those at police headquarters whose business brought them in touch with him, regarded him as worth interviewing. His name rarely appeared in print, for he was an office man, and a consultant rather than a practitioner in the art of crime detection. He was a man of 30, and a bachelor in a double sense of the word, for he held a degree from the London University. Spiritualism, he repeated slowly. Well, yes and no. Certain phenomena are inexplicable. Animal instinct, for example. I've seen sheep terrified before the door of a new slaughterhouse, and one that has never been used before. I've known dogs to be frantic with fear hours before an earthquake. In fact, I've seen my old terrier shivering with fright 3 hours before a raid warning was received. Explain that. It is as easy to explain as spiritual manifestations. There is a something. The mediums feel it, and dissatisfied with its faint message, they must interpret the whisper as a shout. They see things dimly, and in their impatience or enthusiasm, they insist that you shall see plainly. With this result, that they fake. They rip along ahead of the thing they should pursue, and are mad with you when you prove that all that is following them is their own silly shadows. But why are you so interested? It doesn't seem a very healthy subject for a young lady to discuss with a police officer. What is the stunt behind your question? She smiled. Have you ever heard of Mr. Jean Bonnet? She asked. The inspector's forehead puckered. Bonnet? Do you mean the stockbroker? She nodded. That is the gentleman. He is a millionaire, and has a big, rambling place, Tatton Corners, near Reading. Gillette pushed himself back from the table and frowned again. A Russian died there the other day. I remember. So that is your stunt. What were the circumstances of the death? All the details were not in the papers, and I wasn't very much interested. So I gather, said the girl, with a little smile. Otherwise, you would not ask why I want to know something about spiritualism. The Russian's name was Dmitri Nikolai, a financier, who was associated with Mr. Bonnet. Nikolai, who lived in Paris, seems to have been a furtive, secretive man. He has no relations and very few friends, certainly nobody who enjoyed his confidence. He had a leaning towards the shadier side of finance. And undoubtedly, during the war, he dabbled in one or two questionable enterprises, which yielded him a huge profit. About 4 weeks ago, Nikolai came to London, and to a man who knew him and who remembered him in town, he confided the fact that he was engaged in a transaction with Mr. Bonnet, which would yield him millions. The character of the transaction he never discussed. And the next day, he left for Tatton Corners.